Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, December 5th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas on 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Fortnite is introducing a new game mode, and it sounds pretty cool. Plus, with the FTC set to investigate loot boxes, we decided to ask a professional his opinion on the situation. We'll sit down with entertainment lawyer Mark Whipple to see what he has to say on the matter. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with you. We asked you guys how you felt about the FTC getting involved in loot boxes over at our social media pages. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. But to just kind of go one more time around about this to refresh everyone's memory so that we're all on the same page. The FTC announced last week that it would be opening an investigation into loot boxes. And this is the most significant government regulation or possible government regulation that could be coming to the video game industry since they were dragged in front of the Senate,
yep,
which formed the ESRB.
Which, by the way, they may again soon be dragged in front of the Senate.
Like, for loot boxes.
We might see a repeat of that.
I would not be terribly surprised. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a much bigger deal than most people are giving it credit for. We talked about some of the impacts. We talked about some of the potential
the ramifications.
Pitfalls. Yeah, the ramifications.
Either way,
exactly. And you know, I think that this is going to be probably the most relevant gaming news story coming
time.
Up in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a major battle that we're going to have to keep our eye on throughout 2019 and maybe even beyond. For me, I mean, I think it's inherently a bad thing that the government is getting involved, but I think it does have to at this point. When the ESRB sat on their hands and said, we're not going to do it. Okay, well now somebody
the industry invited this.
Now the government has to.
The industry invited this. And on top of the ESRB, when it got to a point to where you had entire nations essentially outlawing loot boxes, which is what Belgium did, which yep. is what other countries are thinking about doing, you have Korea now that's legislating against account boosters. Governments, video games was one of the last areas, one of the last industries that had been relatively untouched by government.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was one of the last self-regulating industries.
Even film is more regulated
yes.
than video games.
Exactly.
Are.
Yeah.
So now this opens the door to that. And, you know, it's interesting to me as somebody who is, I would say, a little left-leaning. But
no,
I know.
Really?
But the thing is that, yeah, this worries me. Government involvement in this worries me.
Well, here's the thing is that I think both things are true, that the government getting involved is both worrisome and it's also a step in the direction for consumer protection, because I think that all of us have identified the same thing, that this is clearly something that video game developers are abusing.
Oh, yeah.
And someone needs to step in and do something about it. I just don't know that the federal government or the FTC was the right body. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Daily, your source for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening over at our Twitch channel, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. You can join us if you're listening on the podcast. You can join us live every single day, Monday through Friday,
at 5 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. But we put that question out to you guys on our social media channels over at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. And so Sarah is joining us to be the voice of the people. So, Sarah, what did the people have to say about the FTC issue?
Well, it was all quite varied. Over on Facebook, I have Derek here who says, I don't think it's gambling since none of the boxes are empty. As long as you can earn loot boxes through regular gameplay, I don't have an issue with them.
Well, I mean, I think Derek, I think you should listen to the interview we're going to have a little later today.
I think that that's an interesting point, although I don't know that you can say loot boxes are empty as soon as you have claimed all of the low tier rewards, because then you do get boxes that are empty or you get more doubles, which you don't want.
Or in the case of certain games, you get in-game currency back. So they're never empty, quote unquote.
Right. And so I think that it's still problematic and still, you know, abusive in terms of the way that they're deployed in a gaming environment.
We also have over at Twitter by Grimm saying, to be honest, I'm more worried that the FTC will rule in favor of loot boxes. Plenty of companies would happily grease palms to make it happen, too.
That is one of the big worries.
And that's you can't ignore that possibility is that they get in and say,
no, this is all right.
This is all right. And now the developers have carte blanche.
Right. Yes. And that's what makes it a lose-lose in terms of the consumer, unfortunately, because if the FTC does get involved, then we don't know what that does to monetization models and really funding some of these games. And then if they don't, we have what we have, or it gets worse.
Yeah, see, I personally don't, I can't rule on one side or the other. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. But for me, them saying that it is okay and wanting a cut, that's worst case scenario for me.
I think I agree with that. And, you know, I think that government has a history of regulating media, specifically media, very poorly. It tends to be very reactionary.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all of these changes have to be undone later on. And it was only more recently that we've started to kind of swing the pendulum away from this sort of like reactionary, like something bad happens and it gets blamed on a piece of media, and then that piece of media is under fire,
right?
And, you know, sees some kind of legislation. It's happened to radio. It's happened to film. Thank goodness it didn't happen to music, but only very narrowly. Yeah. And it didn't happen to video games, but again, only very narrowly. And it was the ESRB that made that margin. And that's again, them sitting on their hands is probably the most dismaying part for me. But that was true, you know, 6 months ago when we reported on it.
Over at Instagram, we have Gunter who says the corporate people didn't want to fix it, so they brought this upon themselves. I don't want government involvement, but if it will help remove microtransactions on stuff like this, so be it.
I don't think microtransactions are going anywhere.
No, microtransactions is perfectly legal. As a matter of fact, those are printed on the boxes now.
Yeah, microtransactions is listed. That's something the ESRB did talk about.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is specifically about the randomized rewards in loot box type.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
To his point, he does say that, you know, the games industry had the chance to get out ahead of this, and they chose not to.
That is very true, too.
Back on Facebook, we have George who says, we might as well make trading cards illegal then, since they have a randomness factor to them. Companies are just going to incorporate bad battle pass systems or just straight up sell you overpriced items that people will then complain about.
See, now this is what I was trying to connect on our segment last week, was that, you know, if you made something like this illegal, isn't, by definition, packs of cards the exact same thing?
Even though I
agree, you know, packs of cards in Fortnite are not exactly alike, but like, I mean, I remember the fervor around Pokemon cards in elementary school.
Here's the answer. Yeah, it's the same thing.
So in practice, but I think the argument that they would make is that when you buy a pack of cards, you actually have something you're buying in your hand.
Well, you have a physical product, and theoretically that holds value. You could sell it. Even cheap cards can be sold back.
Very
good
point.
That's fair.
I will give you that.
It takes it to the guy who used to work at a place that sold trading cards.
That's a good point. And an important distinction between these two things. Not to say that digital items don't have value, but if you can't trade them, or if they're designed to not be traded or exchanged hands, I mean, look at South Korea, account boosting is now illegal.
Ooh, right.
How long before it's illegal to farm gold or you know, account boost on an MMO? What's the difference? One's competitive,
the CSGO
one's
skin
not.
Trade.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are starting to become very fine distinctions. And again, government's not very good at making those fine distinctions. Exactly.
Back over on Twitter, we have John, who says government should stay out, but consumers should regulate it with their dollars.
You know,
that's the ideal, but it doesn't work that way.
That's the idea behind capitalism, but capitalism picks winners and losers all the time.
And the other problem with that too is that's where we get into this predatory marketing to children.
Yes.
You can't make that distinction so easy.
That is also true. Yes,
I want to add from Twitter, also by T Money, good riddance, I'd say. They ruin gameplay balance and are nothing but gambling, and if not gone, then at least regulated, much like casinos.
Okay. Now, it's only specific cases where it's affected game balance, like Battlefront 2. After that happened, I'm pretty sure most companies understood that's not the direction.
That's not the way to do it. But the thing is, and again, like I said, what worries me is something Nate just said, is the fact that I don't think the government has people in the FTC or whatever regulating body is going to take this over if they do that. I don't think anybody there has the nuance for these sorts of things.
Even if you try to explain it to them, I don't think they're going to get it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get it, and I don't think they're going to care.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. So
it's whatever. I think whatever is going to be handed down is going to be very blanket. And you know, the nuances and the distinctions that we can draw here on this program, just being involved with gaming, those are not going to be written into the law. And that can be very, very difficult and troublesome to navigate.
But the biggest point, and we can't highlight it enough, is that even if this was going to go to the government, it would have looked way better if the ESRB has sat back and said, look, we've already have some guidelines here that we've been working on. This is what we've been working with the industry on to get out in front of this and fix this, because it may have been inevitable that this go to the government.
Absolutely.
But if the ESRB had been doing what they were there to do in the first place, this would have been something that could have had a framework that would have come from the gaming community. Now it's not going to.
Absolutely. One more, Sarah.
We've got over at Facebook by Jean-Paul, just take out any real money linked to it, and I'm fine with random loot boxes. You should only need to spend in-game currency on them and shouldn't be able to buy in-game currency for real money.
But then you get, what is your time worth, right? Like, if there's a time sink involved in getting them, I mean, you know, look at how slowly on Fallout 76 atoms build up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, to keep in mind, too, is so much of the gaming market now is moving towards games as a service.
Yes.
Or free to play.
I'm sorry, I know people are going to hate to hear it, but they need to be able to keep making money if you still want content.
That's a very good point. But listen, we want to hear from you. Of course, if you want to get in on these segments, you can follow us over on our social media pages, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Let us know, are we off base here? Did someone's comment really resonate or touch a nerve with you? Again, that's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with entertainment lawyer Mark Whipple to discuss the FTC getting involved with loot boxes. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Fortnite is set to introduce their new creative mode. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening in Grand Rapids on KBBL Sports 107.3 FM and St. Joseph WSJM New Talk 94.9 FM in our home state of Michigan. Make sure you're following us at our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, and not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Fortnite, a name that I'm sure parents across the country are getting sick of hearing, is getting ready to introduce a new mode. But parents, don't tune out just yet, because this new mode just might help your kids be a little bit more creative.
Yeah, so this actually came about with a leak last week about a new creative mode in Fortnite that would allow players, rather than just, you know, 100 people dropping onto an island and shooting at each other, you're going to get to actually make your own private Fortnite island.
Now, I'd like to just point out really quick that before the Battle Royale, Fortnite was still a game where you could run around and build things.
Yes.
In case anybody didn't know.
No, I mean, this functionality was built into it from the moment it was conceptualized.
Right.
Even, as Robbie said before, Battle Royale. However, what I think is so awesome about this is going to allow Fortnite players a whole new level, a whole new meta, a whole new game away from the game, because in the future, I see something like this opening up custom maps, maps that people will be able to share. You've been able to have private maps. This could be customized for esports.
Look even bigger, guys. Like Norris, that is all 100% true, but that's still even only talking about Fortnite players. Now that you're going away from a competitive aspect, this opens up the game to an audience that maybe had no interest in a Battle Royale
game. The Minecraft crowd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing about a Battle Royale style game is that the pressure's on from the word go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If someone there's all that kind of creative, goofy stuff that'll happen every once in a while in Fortnite, but if somebody wants to win, they're just going to shoot you while you dance at them. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
This actually gives a little bit, players a little bit of freedom and a sandbox mode to really kind of, you know, toy around with and make their own. And I like that it carries on in the spirit of like Minecraft and Little Big Planet in that way.
Oh my gosh.
What?
I just thought about something. Fortnite's going to be the new Red versus Blue.
Yeah, it's going to be the next thing from Machinima.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
One of the functionalities being built in is a camera mode to be able to...
Yeah, it's on.
Absolutely.
The memes you about to see, bro?
Yeah.
Oh my God. See, this is what we're talking about. And this is the stuff that we've been saying about PUBG for the longest. Is the fact that why on earth is nothing like this even remotely thought of in PUBG?
Because I think PUBG's too, like,
stuffy.
Yeah, it is.
PUBG
it is
knows
a little,
what it wants to be.
Well, I think PUBG, yes, it knows where its wheelhouse is, but now it's, like, unsure of itself. It's like, you know, like, I don't know, the first time you go to a school dance and you're like, when you first get there, you think that you are hot. Like,
yeah,
you are awesome. I look great. And then no one will, like, oh, people are dancing with me. That guy's getting way more attention. Maybe I should do my hair like him. You know, like,
except
all
he's
of
probably
this stuff.
Doing a Fortnite
dance. Never had
that's
that experience. What is
that's
that experience?
Shut up, Norris.
I don't have that experience.
Okay, cool guy. Let us nerds nerd out over here. You keep your coolness to yourself.
But learn your Fortnite dances.
But the thing is like, that's what I feel like PUBG's starting to do, is it's starting to notice, like, oh, hey, Fortnite's getting a lot of people in the door by doing these kind of kitschy little things, and that's where you get the you know,
it's
the Batman skins.
The door, right? So
yeah, the Harley Quinn and yeah. Joker skins.
But that's also, like, Fortnite, is it because they realize that, like, hey, if 50, 60... if 95% of our player base left tomorrow, we'd still be one of the richest companies in the world right now?
That's
like,
true.
Like, you're not afraid to fail when you're on that level of success. If they put out something that isn't popular, oh well.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, yeah, there's less of a margin for failure. But I mean, at the same time though, I think that, you know, what Epic is doing with Fortnite is incredibly creative. It's incredibly forward thinking, and I think is going to end up paying real dividends, yeah, in terms of, like, the cultural factor of Fortnite. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. We're currently talking about Fortnite's new mode that they've just introduced, the creative mode, which is sort of like a sandbox mode, less of a focus on shooting and killing combat. Other players, combat, thank you, and more of an emphasis on what you can build and construct in the world.
And Joe, you said something I thought was very interesting, is the fact that they're not afraid to fail with Fortnite. Epic's not afraid to fail based on whatever they put out. I think it's the same thing, but on a different end of the spectrum. I think the game is so dang on popular that it doesn't matter what they put out. It's going to be popular.
Well, they did that Thanos event inside of it. That was on its face kind of stupid, but it just ended up being insanely popular.
But first of all, it was fun.
That's the thing. It was fun.
But I think it's to a point now where Fortnite is so saturated that enough people will like it that it's still going to be popular.
Or they'll at least try it, that it's not even going to look like a failure.
Exactly.
But I think that there's this whole other thing of like, you know, can a game get now too big, right? Like, there's so many different, you know, memeified things about this game, the dances, the emotes, that now we're starting to see Epic being sued by people who claim to have created the dances, whether they're rap or what, whoever it is, that are saying that, listen, that's my intellectual property and you just took it from a video without my permission. And you know, if you're Epic, great job building the game that you did with the buzz that you did. Is it going to mean anything if you get sued for all your money?
That's true. I mean, it depends on, like, we'll have to see how these lawsuits start playing out. I mean, if they settle out of court for $30 million, they go, cool, that's 2 days profit.
Right.
We're going to be all right.
I mean, that's a pretty good point.
I want to ask this, though. One of the places that they have continued to struggle is their esports scene, trying to get that together. This could be a way forward with that by allowing people to create maps and new game modes, and we can see what emerges. Like, this is where MOBAs came from, is when people were able to start taking Warcraft and modifying different game modes into it.
That's true.
We got the MOBA genre.
And that's what I thought of. I didn't necessarily think of it as maybe just custom maps for you to share with friends. I thought of, somebody's going to come up with an idea that Epic is going to see, and they're going to say, wait a minute, that's a great idea. If we incorporate that into our esports, that may be the golden ticket. Because right now, as it stands, they can't figure it out.
Well, you know, you sit around and you wonder where an idea like Rocket League came from. Like, this would be the perfect kind of fertile ground for a game like that, you know, that's organic and fun, and you wouldn't necessarily naturally put those two ideas together.
I think that the strength of Fortnite is that they're constantly evolving, like, month over month, year over year, and something like this allows for that creative energy to just, like, go full Nova. When you have an esport, it's something that, that, you know, season after season, you're going to want it to be the same. You're going to want it to be fair.
And you want it to be consistent. Yeah, absolutely.
See, as Nocturnal Sandwich in our chat has said, Valve did the same thing with Counter-Strike. They saw it and said, oh, man, this is dope. That mod's great. Let's buy it.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that does happen a lot. And I think that, you know, definitely the heavy hitters of the esports scene, that's where a lot of those games came from. Will this do the same thing? Has yet to be seen. But listen, we want to hear from you. Is this a mode that you could see yourself playing, or maybe even playing with your kids? Let us know by connecting with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get a professional opinion on the FTC investigating loot boxes as we sit down with entertainment lawyer Mark Whipple to get his thoughts on the situation. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Last week on Checkpoint XP Daily, we discussed the FTC getting involved with investigating loot boxes, and we knocked a few points loose that really felt alarming. So to make sure we're not creating our own little bubble of opinion, we thought we would ask an expert. And when we have legal questions, we talk to entertainment lawyer Mark Whipple. Mark, thanks so much for joining us here on Checkpoint.
Happy to be here.
So the FTC is officially going to be looking into the practice of loot boxes, and we're still dealing with, you know, people telling us that this isn't a big deal. Are we off base on this, or is this a huge deal?
I'm going to give you the standard lawyer answer. It depends. It is entirely possible that it could be a huge deal. The FTC is one of the more, in some ways, mysterious and Leviathan-like entities of the federal government. Its investigation and enforcement authority is very broad, and they don't, for example, generally regulate gaming and gambling. They regulate consumer protection authority, and that's a very broad mandate. Just to quickly read from their own website, the FTC protects consumers by stopping unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent practices in the marketplace. So if they find that loot boxes or anything related to them could constitute unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent practices, they have the ability and the right to open a formal investigation and to take any number of lawful enforcement steps. They have a great deal of power if they do find that something is within their jurisdiction. If they don't find that it's within their jurisdiction, then they will not do anything. So like I said, it could be a huge deal, it could be no deal. At the very least, I think that game companies should be prepared for this investigation. They should look very hard at their loot box practices and make sure that they are willing to talk to a federal investigator, and if you're a big company, maybe even a member of Congress at some point, and say, yes, we are making these loot boxes, but they are not unfair, they are not deceptive, and they are not fraudulent. And if you aren't comfortable standing there saying that to a regulator, an investigator, or a member of Congress, you need to make some changes, and you need to make them quickly.
Okay, so with that said, and I just got to get down to brass tacks here, in your professional opinion, do they meet the criteria for gambling? Do they represent a predatory action against children or those not in the know?
Okay, I'm going to stop you there and split that question up into two pieces. First of all, do loot boxes meet the traditional common law definition of gambling? In my professional opinion, almost certainly. I mean, it depends on whose laws we're using. Every state in the United States has its own gaming laws. Every country in the world has its own gaming laws. There are places where the regulators have said, we don't think it's a big deal. There are places where the regulators have said, are you kidding me? Of course, this is gambling. Stop it right now. So that part depends. The part about protecting children, theoretically, protecting children, gambling is something that you pretty much automatically want to protect children from. But even if it isn't gambling, if it's unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent in some way, it doesn't matter that it may not meet the criminal definition of gambling. The FTC still has authority over it, and they can still investigate and sanction over it. Given the way some of these loot boxes operate, I think that some companies probably need to take that very close look at their practices and say, do we really want to have that argument, or do we want to self-regulate, and do we want to make changes, become more transparent, make sure that our odds and our responses and our information is solid, so that we don't have to have that discussion in the first place.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. We're talking with Mark Whipple, entertainment lawyer, about the certainty that the FTC is getting involved with investigating and possibly even regulating loot boxes. Now, you mentioned just a moment ago, you know, the idea of self-regulation, and we had reported on the ESRB having the opportunity to be able to put its opinion out there on loot boxes, and it kind of sat on its hands. Do you think that the ESRB had, like, the industry had an opportunity to get out ahead of this before it had to go to the FTC? And now that it is going to the FTC, what do they have the actual authority to do?
To answer the first part, yes, I think the industry had an opportunity. Myself and many other video game attorneys have been yelling about this for years, that this needed to be looked at, cleaned up, and, you know, streamlined and brought into good practice. And I'm not saying that any particular publisher is outright defrauding anybody, is outright doing something deceptive, but they're all over the map. And the ESRB, you know, as you know, their whole reason for creation was to try to keep people all moving in the same direction so that consumers and regulators and parents and everybody else could know what they were getting when they were buying a video game. And by not taking more firm steps, by not saying to the industry, hey, we have a potential issue here, let's work together, let's make some standards, I think an opportunity has been lost. Yes, I do.
Mark, this is a billion-dollar industry we're talking about. Even if the FTC, you know, decides that there's something, you know, unfair about this, I mean, what are they actually able to do? I mean, can they actually stop loot boxes? Or even worse, if they get into the gaming space, there's a lot of practices that we look at nowadays that are, you know, kind of a little shady. What's that going to end up looking like?
That's a really good point. Once you have regulators investigating your industry or your company, they tend to be very nosy people. That is their job. And they could look into any number of practices. Typically, their investigation will be restrained to a particular subject. But, you know, the FTC, one of the big things they do is data security and privacy monitoring and deceptive advertising. If they go into a company and say, hey, we're going to look at how you move these loot boxes around, and they say, you're not protecting this information or you're not advertising these loot boxes correctly, even if the loot boxes themselves aren't necessarily a problem, the way the, all this information is flowing around will certainly pique their interest. As far as what they can do, I am not an FTC expert, so don't take anything I say as particularly solid gospel as to how they do it. In general, they can make recommendations to Congress. They can bring civil actions. If there is an applicable statute or regulation that allows some kind of sanction or fine, they can do it. In extreme cases, they can refer cases to the Department of Justice for potential criminal investigation. So what can they do? They can do almost anything, as long as they view it as within their authority.
Well, I think that that's fairly alarming. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're talking with Mark Whipple, entertainment lawyer, about the FTC getting involved with regulating loot boxes or looking at regulating loot boxes. And Robbie had just pointed out you know, something a moment ago. This is not the only shady business practice that video game developers are known to have. In a lot of cases, you know, there's complaints of staff being overworked,
crunch time, and these
huge deadlines that are almost impossible to meet. Do you think that this gives those working in the gaming industry a unique opportunity to band together and unionize and form some set of rules and apply pressure that they weren't previously able to apply before the FTC getting involved in the industry?
I'm going to back up a step from that and say that labor practices and things like that are not something that the FTC gets into. Any federal regulator can pick up a phone and call any other federal regulator. And of course, you know, light illuminates everything in the vicinity. But by and large, I don't think that those two issues are going to be closely related. I am all for some work on the labor practices of this industry. I've been very fortunate with the companies and clients that I've advised. I won't say there's never been any crunch time or anything like that, but some of the stories that I hear from other places, I think that people really should be very worried about the Department of Labor or, you know, other entities coming in. A lot of times they come in, there's a quiet settlement, they go out again. But as this industry continues to grow, as it becomes more influential in a million different ways, and the way that they do these practices comes forward, yes, they should be concerned about labor movements, labor liabilities, things like that. But I don't see a close tie in here to the FTC loot box shady business practices investigations.
Mark Whipple, entertainment lawyer, has joined us today here on Checkpoint XP. Mark, thank you so much for answering our questions today.
It was my pleasure. Always happy to be here.
Thanks again to Mark for his time. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at LegalInspire, and make sure to follow his blog where he goes in depth on a ton of issues that gamers actually care about. LegalInspiration.com. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. I want to thank Sarah Skopic at the news desk, who did an excellent job being the voice of the people for today. And, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.